Well, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to stand before you another time. No matter how many times I get this opportunity, it's still always a mixture of fright and joy. But it is an honor and a privilege to say yes to the Lord. And I just reflecting back when as a word of testimony, since we were sharing a lot of our personal testimonies this morning. When I first came to know the Lord, I was around 6 years old, and how I know that I was six was that was the year that my father left Jamaica to come to America. And so he left my mom and I and my brothers in Jamaica. And during that year, it was a difficult year. I remember my mom. Am I too loud? Okay. I remember my mom. Hear my voice. Okay. My mom, she actually suffered a nervous breakdown during that time. But we were, we lived in a situation where our house was in a yard with a bunch of other houses. And during that time, there was, we kind of roamed from neighbor to neighbor, and all the neighbors kind of looked out for us. And they were bringing, I remember them were bringing my mom food, and they were, just kind of taking care of us. And there was this one night where there was a revival, and this we had a central, like a community center, and there was a preacher preaching, and I snuck out of the house, and I didn't even go inside. I stood by the window outside, and I'd heard the gospel message many times over and over again. But then, this one time, I'll never forget it, as he gave the invitation for anyone that wanted to know Jesus personally, all you have to do is just ask him. And I remember just weeping and they were singing the song, "Come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And I prayed that prayer. And I said, "Lord, I want you into my heart." And even though I didn't know what it all meant, everything changed for me as a little girl. And I remember telling my mom, I said, I'm a Christian now. And she says, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah." And the realization that the Lord, even though I had Christian parents, the Lord came to me when my parents weren't even around. And he made himself known to me in that spot. And knowing that the Lord, he is there. He comes to us individually. And this morning, the message, the title is, Jesus Calls Us Still. Jesus calls us still. And there is a main idea. It is that dedicated time away with the Lord leads the believer to a greater knowledge of all that we have in him and provides the restoration our soul needs. Dedicated time away from the Lord, time away with the Lord leads the believer to a greater knowledge of all that we have in him. Jesus said that whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. As we further discuss our common human experience, so many times we don't experience the streams of living water promised to us by Jesus. As we live out our human experience, though, we realize that Jesus calls us still. Jesus calls us still as believers. To the unbeliever, he calls to a saving faith. But the believer, he calls to a greater knowledge of all that we have in him. Our text is going to come from Psalms 23, and if we could just take a moment and read that psalm together. Is there anyone that had to memorize this psalm when they were younger? Yeah, this is one of those psalms that, along with the Lord's Prayer, that we were, as you grew up, you know, you had to commit to memory. But let's read it out loud together. If you're there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And we learned it, you know, in King James Version, right? I think I heard some of that out there. Yeah. In this psalm, we see our Lord referred to as the shepherd. We know the definition of a sheep herder is a person who tends, herds, feeds, or guards herds of sheep. And sheep, you know, they're really, you know, humble little creatures, right? It says they're gregarious. And the thing is, I was kind of doing just a little bit of reading about sheep, and it says that they'll pretty much follow anybody. And if, you know, whoever takes off first, that's who they're going to follow. And so we realize that the job of a shepherd requires constant presence. This is not one of those jobs where you can do remotely. You have to be there. And, you know, it's wonderful to know the Lord, he promised to be with us, and he needs to be with us, right? And in John 14, and Ronnie read a little bit of it this morning, he was telling his disciple, he says, I'm going to leave you soon, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So he promised to not only be with them, but he made a way so that he can be with us. Be with us constantly. So if he is with us constantly, how can we be constantly aware of and experience his presence? Because many times, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes we pray, Lord, be with us. And sometimes, you know, we just are not, you know, whatever reason, we're just not aware of his presence. So how can we be aware of his presence? This morning, the psalmist, he said, the Lord, he is my shepherd. I shall not want. In order to experience his presence, we must, and this is the first point, is that we must intentionally set aside time alone with him. And in our human experience, you know, it seems odd to think that, okay, if the Lord is with us, why do I have to set aside time? What does that mean, set aside time with him? Can't I just, you know, pray for my meals, pray for a parking space, and, you know, those moments, you know, isn't that enough? But we see an example in Scripture of when there seemed that there was a need to actually spend extra time, dedicated time away from him, away with him. Billy Graham is quoted in this little pamphlet, How to Spend a Day in Prayer. He said, avail yourself of the greatest privilege this side of heaven. Jesus Christ died to make this communion and communication with the Father possible. How do we know that dedicated time away with the Lord is important or warranted or that we need it? we see examples in the scripture. You know, there's always a scripture for that. You know, that is there an app for that? Well, there is always a scripture for that. We see examples with Moses, how he called Moses up to the mountain to meet with him. And in Psalms 42, David said, "When can I go and meet with God?" And you may say, well, these are Old Testament examples. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given, so he was not a constant presence with them. But even in the New Testament, we see examples of Jesus. In Luke 5, it says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So we see that Jesus, when he took on the human condition, he saw that there was a need to remove himself and spend some extra time of communion with the Father. He needed to be restored and rejuvenated, and he couldn't do that in his everyday routine. And he would often take the disciples away, because the people were clamoring always, clamoring for his attention, healing, and so forth. And so sometimes he just had to remove himself and remove them along with him. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 6, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father." These are very specific instructions when he was, you know, with his disciples. He said, you know, you have to remove yourself sometimes. And as I was, you know, thinking about, fact that Jesus calls us, he is speaking to us, but sometimes we don't hear him until we get by ourselves with him. It's, you know, it's great that, you know, when we come together in here on Sundays, we experience, you know, the amazing fellowship, you know, friendship. But there's still so much more to know, to knowing him. And, you know, you see that the Lord has so much more to say to us through our pastor. It started out with the Friday, you know, message that he would send. And then, you know, we have the Wednesday view from our place. And then we have the Monday morning boost. It's like, wow, the Lord has so much to say to us, and, you know, keeps flowing out from, you know, where we know that, okay, then just coming here on Sunday just isn't enough. I need his constant remind. I need that constant restoration. So Jesus said to his disciples, he says, you know what? Come with me. Let's come away. Let's have some one-on-one time, some daddy time. And we need that. We need that extra time with the Lord. Jesus, at one point, he took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain. And when he took them up to the mountain, some amazing things happened up there. He was transfigured. So while he was up there on the mountain, they saw Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah, and then they heard this voice come out of the heavens and saying, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." And they fell on their faces. And, you know, they didn't know what to do with that experience. They, you know, Peter, of course, he said, "Let's build a temple here, Jesus. Let's build one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Jesus said, "No. No." They wanted to preserve that mountain experience with Jesus. And we too need those mountain experiences with Jesus. We need that time where we actually set aside and it's just him and us. And, you know, the thing is, he calls us to this because he can't get enough of us. He cannot get enough of that communing with us. He has so much to say. That moment of salvation was just the beginning. Now he has so much more to say to us. And, you know, to be honest, he can't say enough to us until sometimes we have to go and spend and turn off all the other distractions. There is something that happens in those times with the Lord that doesn't happen in the everyday routine of talking to Him on the fly, as we put it. As an educator, you know, sometimes we have to give education. We call it on the fly. That, you know, we walk into a situation, we just have to quick bring up our resources and give them what we know. Sometimes we have to take some dedicated time away and really, really delve into some things and really look deeply. And that's what this, you know, time this morning I wanted to focus on. That alone time. What do we do in our alone time? In verse 1 of Psalms 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in that time, you may wonder, like, what do I do if I'm going to, am I going to really just take a, maybe, let's talk about maybe an hour, dedicated just an hour. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a certain time, but say we decide we're going to spend an hour with the Lord. Just the Lord. What does that look like? And, you know, as we go to spend time with Him, this psalmist, he said, first of all, the Lord is. He's my shepherd. And during that time with the Lord, just reflecting on the miracle of salvation, the miracle of knowing Him. The song says it took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Think about what a miracle it is to actually be in fellowship with the God of all creation, that we have an understanding and a knowing of who He is. We experience Him. We experience His love. We are confident of His love. That's a miracle. And it's the miracle of salvation. When I you know, took some time to reflect on this Psalms 23 once, this is an excerpt that I wrote when, as I read just the first verse of this psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I will not live in a constant state of neediness, ever longing, not attaining. Instead, I live in a state of overflowing joy. I live in your conquering presence. Overarching success and victory is my constant companion. Today, this day, now, I walk in green pastures, quiet waters, restoration, righteousness, faith, comfort, acknowledgement, anointing, goodness, love, safety is mine now, today. This is my reality in you, with you, dear Lord. Lord, I love you with all my heart. Live through me today. Give life through me today." And that was just from the first verse. I couldn't go any further with the Lord, who He is and who He is to me that day. And it kind of, I had to hurry up and leave because it was time to get going. But, you know, that time, that just that one moment, in verse 3, it says that He restores my soul. We're in need of restoration. You know, if what are the signs? You know, as a clinician, I was thinking about the signs and symptoms of things. What are the signs that we need restoration? Do we really need dedicated time away with the Lord? Well, you know, I was meditating on this, and one couple of days ago, I went to go to work, and I took this different route because I wanted to get to work as soon as possible. And of course, the route I took, I ended up behind a school bus, and I said, "Oh Lord, no." And, you know, just the frustration started to well up. And I was like, oh, man, you know, why did I go this route? And, you know, just it's not just, you know, when we feel frustrated that we realize that we need restoration. If we're breathing, we need restoration. And, you know, the Lord pointed that out to me. He says, Grace, you need restoration just because you're breathing. As long as we are living in this body, we need restoration. There's no doubt about it. It says, don't wait until we're at our wits' end to call on him. The song says, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. The more we commune with him is the more we realize our dependence on him for everything. There's an example of someone who actually realized his need for restoration, and it was in a little, I don't know if you call it a manuscript, but it's called Practicing the Presence of God. Excuse me. And it was written by a brother named Brother Lawrence. This is all I remember. And years ago, I remember reading this manuscript, Practicing the Presence of God. Thank you. And I wanted to, that sounded like a good idea, right? Practicing his presence. What is that all about? He's with me. What does it mean to have to practice his presence? And this brother Lawrence, just to tell you a little bit about him, he had sustained a hip injury and he lived with chronic pain. And, in his manuscript, he kind of went over some of the conversations he had with the Lord. And in this one particular time with the Lord, he said that, you know, he had this gnawing, even though he was a believer, he had this gnawing feeling that somehow he would be lost. And, you know, as we walk with the Lord, there are things that the Lord knows lies deep within us. And when we take this time away with him, he is able to surface it and deal with it and restore us and renew us in ways we didn't even know we needed restoring. And this brother, he said, you know, I thought I would, he said, his word, he said, I thought I would be damned. He says, that was just this gnawing thing that I just knew that. But after spending and time with the Lord, it says that he practiced communion with God. He later reasoned, and these are his words, he says, whatever becomes of me, whether I be lost or saved, I will always continue to act purely for the love of God. I shall have this good, at least that till death, I shall have done all that is in me to love him. So as he spent time with the Lord and, you know, this gnawing thing, he says, well, even if I am lost, I am still going to spend the rest of my time loving the Lord, adoring the Lord. And, you know, time away with the Lord has a way of resetting the factory settings, as I was thinking about it. Sometimes we are wired a certain way and our brain, you know, does, you know, moves in a certain way. We think a certain way. But as we spend time with the Lord has a way of resetting those factory settings. He has a way of overriding that bent. And it doesn't happen until we sit with him and he looks at it and we talk to him about it. And the more we talk to him about it, the more he is able to call us still and say, look, I have more to say on that. And, you know, I was walking and praying, and I thought I was, you know, I was walking and praying, and I was walking at a time when I didn't think that, you know, it was a lot of traffic. And when traffic comes by, I try to straighten up and just, you know, act like I'm listening to my music. But whatever it was, I was, you know, earnestly talking to the Lord about, this car pulls up, and he, this fellow says, "Miss, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm just praying." He says, "Amen, sister." He says, "My prayer time is going to be at 12 o'clock, and I'm looking forward to just parking this car and get." I was like, "Amen." He says, "Whatever you ask in the Lord, he has done it." I was like, "Hallelujah, glory." And, you know, it's just that time of walking and talking. I don't know what I must have looked like or what I was entreating the Lord about, but when we set aside that time and we start talking to him, and we can talk to him about whatever it is, you know, how we feel about something, how something is affecting us. And as we do, we sense and we get to know that restoration. We get to know that, okay, that it's going to be all right. Just, you know, that famous line, now famous for my elder Jim, that strange all rightness just settles in as we talk to him. So when we set aside that time, we can then reap the results of a restored soul. We're going to look at a couple of the rest of the verses in Psalms 23, but I just wanted to read this little excerpt. This is how to spend a day in prayer. And, you know, spending time alone with the Lord, it really starts out being kind of somewhat difficult, because we're so used to all of our things, all of our, you know, everything. You know, for me, when I, you know, I have to actually take time away from my house, because what I do is I'll go and say, "Lord, I want to spend some time just talking to you in prayer," and then I go and say, "Well, let me put a load of laundry in first, and then while it's going, then we can talk." And, you know, I get real, you know, I get distracted, you know, real easy. But I was determined. I said, "Lord, I'm going to spend some time with you, because we have some stuff to talk about. And I think there's some stuff that he wants to say to me." You know, he calls to us, doesn't he? It's like, "Don't you want to read that?" You know, it's just this, like, you know, this gnawing, this come away with me and read that verse with me. And as we listen to him, we respond to that call. It's amazing what he says to us in those times. Just like, you know, he did with the disciples. They were like, "It was good for us to be here," when Jesus had taken them up to the mountain. And whenever we come out of that time with the Lord, it's all, even if we feel like we fumbled through it or we really couldn't concentrate through it or whatever, still, there's something about just dedicating that time with the Lord that brings us away with a new, greater appreciation of who he is and who he wants to be to us. In this excerpt is how to spend a day in prayer. It says, "I never thought a day could make such a difference," a friend said to me. "My relationship to everyone seems improved. Why don't I do this more often?" Comments like these come from those who set aside a personal day of prayer. With so many activities, important ones, clamoring for our time, real prayer is considered more a luxury than a necessity. How much more so spending a day in prayer? And then they go on to give some guides. But the results of a restored soul. And we look to the rest of Psalms 23 with this. It says, verse 4 says, actually the rest of verse 3 says, "He guides me in paths of righteousness." And then verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And I imagine that David had spent some time alone with the Lord and came out of this experience stronger, comforted. Surely goodness and love, this restoration leads to This restoration, daily, moment by moment communion, leaves us feeling blessed. Brother Lawrence, he said that the worst thing that could happen to him was to lose that sense of God which he had enjoyed for so long. He said that was the worst thing that could happen to him. And this spending time alone with the Lord, it leaves everything else. It puts everything in perspective. Whatever that thing that was so big, it says, that song says, turn your eyes on Jesus. So the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Our salvation has opened for us the lifelong opportunity to know the Lord of all creation. Paul said, I want to know Christ. But in Timothy, he said, I know whom I have believed. So which one is it, Paul? In one verse, he's saying, I know who I believe in. And when he wrote this, according to the commentary, he wrote this when he was in a cold dungeon, chained like a criminal. He wrote to Timothy, I know whom I believe in from this place, in this dungeon. Yet, he said, I want to know Christ. And, you know, in this, he said, there is, even though I know him in this dungeon, there's so much more of him to know. And if we could just take a minute and look at just one of the examples of the Apostle Paul, as we're just talking about him. Acts, if you can turn with me to Acts 27. And in Acts 27, there is a storm, and you know, I guess travel was pretty treacherous in those days. I can't imagine being in the storm that is described here in Acts 27, verse 13. He said that there was when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. And it says, before long, a wind of hurricane force called the nor'easter swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it. And he goes on to explain what is happening in this storm. Verse 21 says, after the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Paul, even this storm that came up, Paul, he wasn't fazed by it. Because in that time with the Lord told him, he says, look, I'm giving all the lives, you're gonna live through this storm. He says, the Lord stood by me. He got a special word from the Lord. So let the storm rage. No matter what happened, he knew that he was secure. And that's reaping the benefits of that restoration. When the Lord restores us, there is nothing that comes against us that can shake us. And, you know, in that, we're going through, you know, there's a lot going on right now. And as we face them with God. We face them with him. And as we, you know, as when I encounter, you know, the signs and symptoms that I need restoration, and maybe it's maybe being more short than with people than I want to be. I don't, you know, I'm learning not to look out and say, well, that person is really irritating. The Lord is teaching me more and more that that's a sign that He wants to restore me, that there is restoration needed. And when I go to Him in prayer, it says, I commune as friend with friend. When I come out of that time with Him, it's like, wow, Lord, this is amazing. This really is something. You have changed my perspective. And the more we know Him, the better we know Him. When we attend to that call and we take that time to hear what He has to say, the more we trust Him. Paul said, I keep asking God, the glorious Father, that He may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. There is more to know. And I'm encouraged by this. I'm encouraged that salvation was not the end, that the salvation was just the beginning, that He calls us still. He can't get enough of talking to us. He has so much to say. The song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, some of the verses here that just wanted to relate. It's a sweet hour of prayer, and he's talking about an hour of prayer. It says, it calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, makes all my wants and wishes known. We can go to Him with our wants. Sometimes we feel guilty because, Lord, I guess that's not really a need. But He bids us. He said, come tell me about your wants. I will attend to your wants and your needs. He says, my soul has often found relief. And the writer of this hymn was blind. And he relished his time. That hour of prayer with the Lord was his delight. And you know that the last verse, it says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share. Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight. Even though he had lost his earthly sight, God gave him a vision of his heavenly home. He could see that clearly. In that hour of prayer, he said, sweet hour of prayer. So whenever he met the Lord in that hour, it didn't matter that he couldn't see. He said, this robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell. Farewell, sweet hour of prayer. He realized that he only needed prayer for right now. Soon he wouldn't need that hour of prayer anymore because he'd be face to face with the one who gave him true sight. So this is our call this morning. He calls us still. He calls us to communion with Him. He calls us away from everything else to talk to us, to entreat us. He has things to say. And we want to hear it. Time with Him. Now, it didn't just end with salvation, right? We're getting to know Him better and better. A deeper knowledge of Him is what our soul needs, what our soul craves. And that's all I have to say. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the this time, Lord. Thank you for who you are to us, Lord. Thank you for calling us still. Thank you, Lord, for bidding us to come to you. Thank you, Lord, that you can't get enough of talking to us and revealing yourself to us. Lord, I want to know you better. Lord, I want to know you better, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to say yes to you in all those deep places, Lord. I want to see you for who you are, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you for living this life in humanity, Lord. Showing us, Lord, how, Lord, we can too live this life, Lord. Being restored by you. Lord, thank you for the promise that you have given us, that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Lord, may we rest in you, Lord. Help us to trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.